All right, would you open the Word of God, please? Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. All right, so as you're turning there, it occurs to me one of the biggest struggles I think every Christian would say they have in the Christian life is like there's some sort of besetting sin, if you will, that we all, each person, it seems to be different per person, that we seem to struggle with. And it was interesting, the song we just sang where it says, and for Christ count everything but loss. So really our goals, our desire is where God is leading us to is that we pretty much count everything but loss so that we may win Christ or may serve Christ. So I thought it was interesting when that was in there. But be that as it may, I got my notes. Windows 10 just does not want to download to something else. So I guess they're trying to say, you need to get a Mac. All right, so we're on Romans chapter 10, or 7, sorry. I said 7, and I am still 7. So we find ourselves now living with a sin nature that is determined to get us to yield to it, to take our mind off of Christ and to yield to it instead. We find ourselves now also living in a world where most perhaps are not yet saved, as we once were not, although God can save anyone at a moment's notice, so that can change for anyone. The majority having no interest in God, but instead promoting the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and that's like all around us. We see it everywhere. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world, and by God's grace, we're called to be faithful to Him. We know this, the apostles knew this, and particularly the apostle Paul knew this, as we see in our text in Romans chapter 7. So we'll read that, and then we'll have a moment of prayer. So in Romans 7, verse 14, so as we read there, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, well, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, and this is the apostle saying this about himself, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this, from the body of this death? And the verse I'm going to focus on today, verse 25, I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then, with the mind, I myself will serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm not worthy to preach your word. Lord, I don't have the words, but may I preach your words and not my own thoughts, but your thoughts. Please guide and direct me that I may adhere to your word and just say, what your word teaches us. Please help us learn and grow from your word, renewing our minds, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, so when we are saved, we're sealed, so we don't want to get confused with that. We are sealed, we have a new nature, and we will not come into condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who are they who walk not after the flesh, there it is again, but after the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But we are definitely in a battle with our old nature, our sin nature, just not to confuse the two. Just because we have the battle, it doesn't mean, well, I must not be saved, because what's with the struggle? The apostle mentioned this very real struggle that we all have to deal with. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So for Romans 7:14, this is not an exhaustive, it's a very quick, meant to be very quick, a very quick going over this. So when it gets down to verse 16, if then I do that which I would not. So we'll do things like, I didn't want to do that. But what I hate, well, I don't want to do it, that, do I? And if then I do that which what I would not. So I'm, well, I did it, but I didn't want to do that. Well, then if we're thinking that way, we consent that the law, it is good. Because otherwise we'd be like, well, who cares? I'm going to do it anyway. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So really, we kind of need to realize the flesh, we've died. The flesh, we've died to the flesh, but it's still there. But there's us, and then there's the flesh. So for example, if I wake up and I was like, well, I really don't want to go witnessing today. That's not true. I want to go witnessing today. My flesh doesn't want me to go. You get the difference? So it's important to separate that and not think it's you that doesn't want to, well, I don't want to go. I'm kind of tired. I don't know if I'm going to go to church tonight. It's like, it's not you that doesn't want to go to church. It's your flesh. And the flesh practically has a mind of its own. And it's a good point to bring this up. Years ago, before I was saved, something very bizarre happened. It kind of blew my mind at the time. I had no knowledge of spiritual stuff. And then after I got saved and I thought back to that, I was like, that's kind of like what we're talking about. I would work out. I worked till 3. And then 3 times a week, I would get done, go work out in the equipment room for like 20 minutes. I had weights and whatnot. And one day around 3:15, I'm like yawning like crazy. I can't stop yawning. It was crazy. I couldn't go 10 seconds without yawning. So then finally, I was just like, you know what? I'm just too tired today. I'm just not going to work out. And then about 5 minutes later, I noticed, I was just like, the moment I said that, I did not yawn again since for 5 minutes. And I was just like, what, does my body have a mind of its own? Because it's like, oh, come on, you don't want to work out. No, you don't want to work out. I'm not going to work out. Okay. Like, really, it felt like the body had a mind of its own. Now, after you get saved and you realize there's the sin nature, I was like, well, it practically does seem to have a mind of its own. Well, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to go witnessing. You don't want to talk to that person. They'll probably say no. You don't want to go help that person. You're busy. You got this to do. And that's not me. That's the flesh. And it's going to rear its head any chance it gets. So something to keep in mind, Apostle Paul pointed out his own struggle of the believer with the sin nature, and he had that struggle as well. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, though, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It is certainly our desire to glorify God, to get complete victory over the sin nature, and God makes it clear by his grace, we are able to get to that level of maturity over time and no other way. In Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart. He doesn't say with 95% of your heart, 95% of your soul, 95% of your mind. He does say all. So it's really like, I really need to deal with this and it needs to be all. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we do those things, everything else that was required, it'll fall into place automatically. I just, every moment, focus on loving God with all of my heart, strength, mind, soul, and loving my neighbor as myself. And speaking of loving your neighbor, Pastor did touch on this as well. Something to think about. When you see your neighbor and they need help, well, no, that's me. So when I see somebody else, hey, what would I want this person to do for me? And then all of a sudden, it becomes very clear, very obvious, and very undeniable what it is I need to do. You know, because it's easy to think, well, I this, I. No, no, not I. That's I. So the guy got hit by robbers. He's right there. What would I want this person to do? Look, can you help me out? I'm hurting here. I just got, you know, I'm almost dead. And so then I would wish this person would help me. So then, yeah, then I help, or this person does help me. So it's another way to look at that to help us realize, do for others as if it was you. You know, think that way, and all of a sudden things fall into place. 1 Corinthians 10, God will help us. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men, but God is faithful. We talked about God's faith this morning, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicings, which I have in Christ our Lord, I die daily. I die. So I'm serving now. I'm just a servant. I don't exist anymore. I serve me over there. And then if I'm this person's going to get anything, I'll leave that up to God. And that's one way to look at it. In Luke chapter 9, so I'm using a lot of scripture today. It was interesting putting this together where I didn't feel like there was a point. It flowed, and basically I'm letting the Word of God do the preaching. So it was just so many verses here and there that pretty much said it. So I was like, well, then I'll have the Word of God say it, and I'll just say less. So Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, like, well, I got this, I want to save that, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Speaking of salvation and our walk after that, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So it certainly can at times seem to be about impossible to do this. In Romans 7:24, it says, "O wretched man." I mean, he's even like, this verse sounds to me like he was frustrated. You know, he's just like, "O wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of this death?" So it can definitely be frustrating. How can we possibly get that victory? And that's where 7:25, which is pretty much the focus of this message. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, here's how I'm going to get that victory. With the mind, I will serve the law of Christ. Because otherwise, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. So I'm either going to listen to my flesh, you don't feel like working out. Or I'm going to listen to my mind, no, it's good for me, so that's nice, I'm working out. You know, that's a trite example, but I guess that's the idea. Romans 8:1, again, more of the same in terms of walking after the Spirit. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's how you know you're in Christ Jesus. You're not just not walking after the flesh, you're walking after the Spirit. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's not just about not sinning. Walk after the Spirit. I'm going to focus on that. This will happen automatically. But we focus on this. It's like, I'm not debating that. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not going to deal with it. No, I'm just going to focus on this. That's irrelevant. I'm just like, that's nice, and just put my eyes back on Christ. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk, and this is really also the core, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's how we get the victory over the flesh. And I don't think I said my disqualifier, and I think I need to say this now. I'm preaching this because I was thinking about this for some time for me. So I'm not preaching this because, like, I did this and now it's your turn. Well, no, I'm just telling you this is what I'm telling me. And if there's any benefit to anyone that hears this, then praise the Lord. But really, I'm even as we speak, I'm telling this to me. And so you guys just get to hear me talking to myself. All right, so this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's huge. At any moment, we are either choosing to yield to the mind, the law of Christ, or walking after the Spirit, serving Christ, or we are yielding to the flesh. I feel like it, I don't feel like it. That's pretty much the gist version, walking after the flesh, serving sin. We must become mindful, like moment by moment, of keeping our eyes on Christ, and He will perform what really is a spiritual miracle in our lives. Now, it's kind of funny because when I got home today, something happened and I had to laugh because it was almost kind of simple how we have to moment by moment be mindful. Like, you got to control what you got to watch what you're thinking. So I got home and I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to have a nice ham sandwich, some mayonnaise, some onions and lettuce. Sorry, I don't mean to make anyone hungry. So I'm thinking this is going to be great. So I start pouring the peanut butter on and then the jelly on, and then I'm walking over there and I'm just like, I didn't want peanut butter and jelly. And I was like, you got to, and then I laughed because I'm like, see, I wasn't paying attention. And sometimes you just fall into the natural. I mean, it wasn't a sin, don't get me wrong, but at least I don't think it is. But some people might be like, brother, we need to talk. But that was just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, things can go on automatic, and if you are not mindful, then sometimes the deceitfulness of sin will get you going in a direction you didn't even know you were going until, what, a few minutes in, 5 minutes in? So it's tricky. We must be mindful. He will perform the miracle in our lives, which is what it is to actually walk that way. Christ lived without sin, which proved He was God, because to live without committing sin is an outright, like, it's miraculous. You can't do it. You can't do it without supernatural intervention. 2 Corinthians 5, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So obviously He had no sin. It's a miracle for each of us to live in such a way, even for a duration. And I will say this, it's too easy to focus, well, I can't do it. Well, what do you talk about? Your whole life? Can you do it for a minute? Yeah, 2, 4, 8, an hour, 2 hours? Then strive for as long as you can. And once you feel like you've dropped the ball, then keep note of that, start over, and get to that duration and go longer next time. Because that we can do. And then He will give us the victory in longer and longer durations, depending on the person, how long each duration is. So this, and we do that by the Spirit. Galatians 3:2, This only what I learn of you, received you to spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? All right, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? You're now made perfect by the flesh? Well, I'm going to stop sinning. I don't need God's help. He saved me. Now I'm going to be the one to stop sinning. That's not going to happen. We can be made more and more Christ-like, more and more perfect in thought, word, deed, in the spirit, by faith in Christ. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, he didn't just begin it, but he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep performing it. So he doesn't just save you. He now keeps working to get us to walk in the Spirit. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do to do his good pleasure. God is the one that by faith, by his power, his grace through the Holy Spirit can have us walk sinless for durations of time. So the idea comes up, what practical things can we do to help us just do just that? Walk in the Spirit. Like, what does that mean practically? When do I fail? How do I correct that? How do we keep in mind's eye on Christ? Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, like looking at Christ, then your body will be full of light. There are things we're commanded to do. There are things we're not commanded to do. I think I'm repeating myself there. Those who are lost but in some religion could focus on not doing certain things. And they may even have a measure of success, but it's irrelevant because we're saved by grace and we're called to follow him. We'll get the victory here by following him. Getting the victory here, are you following him? Who? Well, then it doesn't matter. You get the victory over what is called sin. The real victory is that we're following him, and the real loss is our eyes were taken off Christ. And I mean, I get ahead of myself. So as Christians, we should focus 100% loving God and doing and not focus on the doing not. That'll take care of itself, if it seems to me. Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It doesn't say if you mortify the deeds of the body, you do it through the Spirit, not through your own power. Not through a religion, like on different religions. Well, here, just mortify this. Well, you didn't do it through the Spirit, so it's irrelevant that you mortified it. Even better than a saved Christian. It seems to me that the real battle is not sin itself, but a battle to keep our eyes on Christ. If we're tempted, if we're keeping our eyes on Christ, it seems to me that for a duration, we're not going to sin. To sin, we have to first have our eyes taken off Christ, and that is a struggle I think that really matters. We win the struggle each time, and the potential will be there, just like the flesh is always with me. So we win that struggle each time, then the struggle against sin is won. So the struggle, as soon as I start thinking, well, wait a minute, what is it? My eyes should be there. I'm not debating this. Yeah, that's nice. Boom, and just put your eyes right back on God. There, we need a way of, how do I do that? We'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's turn again. Well, I guess we can turn there. So Matthew 14:28. If you want to turn there briefly, I won't spend much time there. I preached this last time. It was about the walking on water, Matthew 14:28. And he says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So really, we're trying to go to Christ. That's the first thing. You're not just trying to do these things for, what are you doing it for? Well, I want to serve God. Then serve God. That should be your focus, not just not doing. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, like out of the safety of whatever he was in, he walked on the water. Now, he can't do that. It's not like, all right, now I'm going to put my foot here, and I'm going to put just my... It's like, dude, are you out of your mind? You began in the Spirit. You think you're going to continue in the flesh now? It's all in the Spirit. So really, by focusing on him, he was able to walk on water. But as soon as he takes his eyes off him, look at the waves, look at the, and he starts to sink, slowly. But when you start to sink, cry out for God's help immediately, and the sinking will stop, and he'll pull you back up. Get up, brush off, try again. That's something that I wanted to mention too. Like King David, he started to sink. He could have cried out immediately. He didn't. Man, it got worse. And I think, I don't know how long it went. He was trying to cover it up before finally the prophet went to him. I don't know how, I think it was quite some time. And then he went into other worse things. It will get worse. You will sink more. It will start to get higher and higher. As soon as you want to, call for help. And brings me to another thing. There was the verse, I think it was a couple weeks ago. We had mentioned, if your brother sins against you, but then repents and comes back and asks forgiveness, forgive him. And if he does it, does anybody know how many times in a day did he say? Is that many in one day? My thought was, nobody's doing that even twice in one day. Like, I've never even heard of that. Somebody wrongs you, and then they're like, dude, I'm sorry, brother, you know, like, okay. And then, like, a couple hours later, he wrongs you again, and then asks, and I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of that. But there is a version that I have heard. We feel like we failed God, And yet we would feel dumb going to God. I know I would. I'd feel like, oh, I just got done, like, you know. But he's like, no, he'll forgive you every time. You started to sin, cry for help, get back up, keep walking. Go for that longer duration. So we should go to God the moment we notice, cry out for forgiveness, like, help me, I'm sinking, and so on, and put your eyes back on Christ. One of the examples, let's consider a few examples. Pastor said, I don't know who the guy was. There was a guy who became a pastor, and he was a smoker. And then he says when he became a pastor, he wouldn't give up the smoking at first. So he would then, smoke in secret, not around people. I don't think he was trying to hide it. I just think it was just getting away from him. And then how does he get his eyes back on God to get that? Because he couldn't stop. He could not stop doing it. Well, what are you doing? You're trying to not stop doing it. Don't do that. Try to put your eyes back on Christ when you are going to think you're going to do that. And then he will defeat that for you. So, and he kind of did that. He then apparently had the verse, "Lo, I am with you always." And I would feel dumb doing this, and I've had a similar experience, sort of. "Lo, I am with you always," as he would take the thing of the cigarette. "Lo, am I with you always?" And then finally, he's just like, and then he was done, and he would never smoke again. This is what we were told. So I was like, that's kind of how it works. Your eye was not, when you're smoking, you're not walking in the Spirit. Let's say, I'm not saying smoking's bad. What I'm saying is, when you're doing something that you don't want to do, that even you don't want to do, then at that moment, your eyes aren't on Christ. You're not walking in the Spirit. I would not be walking in the Spirit. So the moment he did that, the victor was there, and his eyes went back, and then he's walking how he should walk. I was like, wow, that's a perfect example. Someone cuts you off in traffic, and your flesh tries to take your eyes off of Christ, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. It's like, you know, like, I'm somebody, you know, what are you doing? So how do I get that? Well, I know something that goes through my mind when people cut me off. It's just like, you know, I just start thinking, what is it? Right. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better themselves. He's better than me. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you want to go too? You want some? You know, and just back off, let him go. So just, the flesh is like, focus on me and you need retribution. And I'm just like, yeah, that's nice. And I put my eyes back on God by focusing on a relevant verse. So I think for anything that we're struggling with, come up with a verse that you think has relevance and just, you know what, just totally go to town on that verse when you think you're off track. I have a chance to go out with others, handing out tracts, witnessing. But again, the flesh seeks to take my eyes off of Christ and, well, you're tired. Or, well, that person's probably, they're not going to say yes anyway. They're all going to laugh at you or whatever it is. So then, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise, I'm getting dressed, and yeah, putting your eyes back on Christ, because my flesh doesn't want me to go, but I want to go. Or, the other thing I did with that, though, there are other ways. I'll just say, well, then you know what, I'm just going to go, I'm just not going to say a word, and I will just be with somebody, so they'll have someone to be a blessing. Sometimes I had to use that to get me out the door. It's easier now, but way back when I was first going out, it was a lot harder. Every week I was like, here we go again. Excuses on why, come on, you don't want to go. It actually does get tiring. So start with the end in mind sometimes. The end in mind being, this is going to be, have you ever given a gospel tract to somebody or witnessed to somebody? And even if they said no, afterwards you're like, wow, that was like a blessing. It just felt like such a good thing. So the mind does that to you. It starts with the end. They're going to say no. You're not going to have fun. You're going to be tired. Well, I'll start with the end. This is going to be a blessing. I can't wait to get out there and have some great conversations. And then that gets you out the door. So same approach, I suppose. Impurities, 1 Peter 1:15, but as which hath called you, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So maybe just like over and over again, be ye holy, eyes on Christ, for I am holy. In all these cases, we have a plan to walk in the Spirit, to put our eyes back on Christ at all costs when we feel like we're getting off track. Walking in the Spirit can be done in many ways, just in general, not to get you when your eyes are whatever, but just in general, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And now you see why he tells you to do it so much. You're gonna struggle to keep your eyes on Christ, and you need a lot of reasons to do so. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted in rivers of water, and so on. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So I'm going to do a lot of work studying God's word. There is more walking in the Spirit that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pray in the morning, afternoon, evening, then even without ceasing. We read God's word morning, afternoon, evening, and then even meditate without ceasing. That takes a lot of our focus and keeps it on Him. And if you're doing that, you know, I certainly didn't have time to. I probably went out soul winning just because I'm just on a roll, so I just kept going. Ultimately, the biggest motivation on how we keep our eyes on Christ, kind of going, maybe this could have been another point, and not on this world, comes from the fear of the Lord and keeping that in remembrance daily, the moments we need it. Ecclesiastes, that was the whole thing. For this is the whole duty of man. Let me back up. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He basically went out there and just looked. I'm not going to deny myself anything. I'm going to find pleasure in anything I can. But he realized, as we do, it's just vexation of spirit. It's, you may think you're enjoying it briefly, but then you're just like, yeah. You were, again, the deceitfulness of sin. He says, for this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, walk in the spirit. In other words, that's me adding to that. For this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring, and again, here's more fear of the Lord, for God shall bring every work into judgment, even with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. We're given, I had the number, but I forgot to write it down. We're given so many minutes a day. You could do hours, but in minutes are more interesting. You're given so many minutes. Today is your only chance to spend those minutes for God. If you knock it, well, I'll go soul winning. I think I'll do it Tuesday or whatever. Well, that's fine, but today you've got this minute. What are you doing with the minutes today? You'll give an account for that. So really, every day, King David, he spent decades serving God. Well, I think I deserve some time off. And suddenly, the minutes were going by, and he wasn't serving God anymore, serving himself, and he fell very quickly. He fell very hard. So it doesn't matter how faithful you've been. You got to take another step. You're going to start sinking if you took your eyes off of him, because you'll start walking, but you're going to start sinking. You're going to cry out and keep going. So it's just definitely more to think about. And again, I'm telling myself all of this. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We are not our own. I am not my own. We are servants of the living God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know I still sometimes get caught up in this, well, I'm on my own. He goes, no, I'm not. Like, I don't own me. Like, I'm accountable to him. I am bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. So now again, tell myself that more, so that I have more the fear of the Lord before my eyes. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver, gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought. You weren't borrowed. You weren't like, can I use you sometime? No, you're bought. You were totally bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Fear of the Lord is paramount. Exodus 9, I remember reading this one day when I wasn't even thinking about this topic, but that little piece in here got my attention. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. Seems like amazing things to be saying. And I and my people are wicked. Impressive. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know ye will not yet fear, yet, although that's a good thing, not yet fear the Lord God. So really, it's not just about realizing where we're at, which is good to know, but we also need to know, you know what, God's in charge, and he's in charge of everything. It's not my notes, but I do remember this, and I didn't put it in there. Something else I tell myself, look, your health, your circumstances, relationships, finances, everything, it can start going south quickly. It's in his hands. For all I know, because he's all right, you know what, I'm going to chastise Ray, and next week this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. That alone, like, you know, you need to, like I'm telling me, I need to, like, do what I'm doing, because I look at God, he's in control of everything, health and everything. We take it for granted. Now, not to say when somebody has bad health that means, like Job even, oh, see, you're sinning. Look what happened to you. Like, you had to be sinning. Look at what happened to everything. That's not necessarily the case. However, I will say, if something bad happens, then assume it is chastisement, even though you have no way of knowing that it is. Assume it is. Is there any reason why that could be? Oh, it could be for this. Good. Assume it is and use that for leverage. to get your eyes back on God and to get your eyes back on fearing the Lord, thinking, oh, that might be because of X, Y, Z or something. So again, things like this help. I debated bringing up this example. It's kind of trite, but I used to drink soda all the time. This is really trite. But it did do something that was kind of spiritual where I was just like, wow, that's interesting. It caught my attention. You used to drink soda all the time. You hear all the time. And you believe it. You know it. Soda's bad for you. Can take the pain off a car. Imagine what it can do to your stomach. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, and they tell you, you know this. Doesn't matter. You keep drinking it because I want to. I feel like it. Don't feel like stopping. And then one day, I started feeling like, you know what? I think this really is going to mess me up. Like, it suddenly became a fearful thing. Knowledge became fear. And 1st of November last year, stopped, have not touched it since. And what was the difference? You knew it before. You knew it after. What was the difference? The knowledge became fearful knowledge. So trite, very trite. But the idea is it's not enough to have the knowledge of God. Think about the verses that outright should concern us. Yeah, I'll give an account of every idle work. My works will be put tried. They'll be burned up. If they're burned up, you will suffer loss. If they remain, you will suffer gain. And those things do cause concern. Good, I should be concerned. Every day, start concerning myself. 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. So really, I point to that, and I guess I do have points after all. Our struggle keeps us humble and dependent upon God. I suppose if we had no struggle with sin, we just totally gave it up, we're walking perfectly, it's like, man, I might start to think, like, look at me. You know, I'm amazing. But the fact that the struggle is there makes you realize, all right, I am totally dependent on God, and I need to make sure I stay dependent on Him moment by moment. And like he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities and glory in the fact that I struggle with sin, that it's not that easy, because then the power of Christ rests on me as I focus on him, realizing I have to. Because if I don't, then I could end up, take heed lest ye fall. It's part of making our life a living sacrifice. If it was easy, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. If somebody offered me chocolate and chocolate made me throw up, I'd be like, no, I don't want chocolate. But it wouldn't be much of a sacrifice because, you know. But if it's something that you really want, you're like, nope, I'm not touching it. Esteemed the Christ of greater riches than the pleasure of sin for a season, that's not an exact quote, then it is a sacrifice. So as it says in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1. So it can seem frustrating. We can remind ourselves that Christ's obedience even unto death, not avoiding it just to avoid going to the cross. And he says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And yet, what I'm resisting, it's not going to cause me to like bleed to death or anything, or even bleed at all. Yet he was able to, even something that would cause likely his death, I'm still going to be obedient to God, which kind of a dichotomy. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So, if we keep our eyes on Christ with the intent, now, maybe we're not going to be perfect, but the intent should be in perfection. The intent should not be, I'm not going to be perfect. Like, you get the difference? Because then I feel like I just set myself up. I just admit it. I'm going to fail. No, think, you know what? This time I got it. And then I'm just going to go and I'm just going to keep going. And then that should be the intent, thinking we're going to get further than we've ever gotten before. And the other thing that occurred to me, pray for what you want. How often do we actually pray for exactly what we want? Well, I'd like to have the fear of the Lord before my eyes. And then I realized, I never pray for that. I was like, that's so weird. Why wouldn't I pray for that? And then the weird thought is, it's almost uncomfortable. Well, you might get it. You know, and then I was like, man, the mind is just, you know, the flesh. It really does a job on you. So I would say, what exactly would you like your life to be like? Get very specific. And I would literally pray for that every day. Because then I'd say, Lord, please teach me the fear of the Lord. Help me to have the fear of the Lord before your eyes. Help me to understand what the fear of the Lord means. And every day now, just start praying for that. Because, I mean, before that, I kind of did. And I was like, wow, it never even occurred to me. I didn't pray for that. We're standing on the rock. We don't want to stand on quicksand. You're on the rock. You don't want to get off the rock because then you're going to sink in the quicksand. Stay on the rock. You know, Hanley kind of mentioned that earlier. I was like, oh, that's good. I'm going to put that in the message. So there's only one way to live life, following God 100%. That's the only way to live. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, he figured that out. He tried everything. It's vexation of spirit. you're going to get deceived and thinking, well, this time it might be worth it. It's never worth it. You're going to have his peace. You're going to totally just, everything's going to be on a roll, and you will find your life in God by shooting for that 100%. So to that end, consider something else. I just said that. So, right. Fear of the Lord. So in conclusion, we don't win this is how I think about it. We don't win the battle over sin in the flesh, directly debating with it, seeking to stop it by the flesh. It's almost like asking bank robbers to protect the bank to keep it from being robbed. Would be just as silly. We don't mentally engage it. We can't win that fight. Instead, realize the real battle. My eyes were on Christ, and whatever this is, it just took my eyes off of there. That's the real issue. This is this. That's not the issue. Put your eyes back there. You took my eyes off it. Yeah, that's nice. Put my eyes right back on. Use a verse. Pray. Whatever you got to do, get your eyes back on him. If we realize the real battle, the attempt to take our eyes off of Christ, I think it can really help us out. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what caught my mind about a year ago, I used to think it said, we wrestle not just against flesh and blood. No, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm like, wait a minute. It doesn't even say you wrestle against flesh and blood. It says you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but. So there's wickedness out there. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And we can't win that. It's impossible. I might as well go walk on water. I can't do that either. But with God's grace, he will have us win the battle here if we keep our mind, heart upon Christ at all times, steadfast, victory over sin for that duration, like the whole time. How are you possibly going to sin if you were really eyes on Christ that entire time and extend it as long as possible, our whole life if we can? So instead of focusing on what we should not be doing, focus on what I am doing for God. I will do everything for him, and by default, he would give us the victory over sin. So, and that's what we pray for.